Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening here in central Kentucky, Lexington to be specific, and this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live, as always, back on a Wednesday evening, back in a groove. Everybody's gotten a little bit healthier, and joining me in the co-hosting chair tonight, just shortly, will be Holly Phillippe. Chat room is open, and if you have any trouble logging in, just refresh the window. Looks like we already got a few folks in. Award-winning author and screenwriter Carol Preflatish, I see, is first in the chat room tonight. And also hello to award-winning filmmaker and screenwriter and author Amy Lee McCorkle. So, yes, we're getting some folks into the chat room, getting underway. And, yes, it's going to be a fantastic show. One of our favorite people to have on the show and at the Imaginarium Convention is going to be joining us shortly. But we will give you that grand introduction in a few minutes. First, of course, we are affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention, so we always love to give you the updates and all the happenings that have occurred in the previous week. Yeah, we're working a lot of, as you know, every single week. We've had all kinds of new additions, new guests, new programming, just going great, way ahead of even last year. Shaping up to be a great, great summer, and I got some big stuff in the works, too. Which very close. I was hoping to be able to talk about it tonight, but I still got to wait just a little bit longer. But I will give you some great updates nonetheless. Since the last podcast, which we held last Thursday, of course, got delayed by a day last week, we have had a couple of new panelists, and both of them are fantastic, come aboard for next year. And one of them is coming for the very first time, and she is Erin R. Hodges, and she's a great author out of the fine state of Michigan, Detroit to be exact, Detroit, Michigan. Definitely going to be an amazing individual on our panels this coming summer, and somebody you definitely want to meet. But yes, Erin R. Hodges, so, and she will also be exhibiting in the expo. Also exhibiting in the expo and coming aboard as a panelist is a returning guest. Yes, and this is Megan Redman, and she is so talented. She's an author, an artist, a graphic designer, and a comic creator. And she also goes by the Bitsy Artist. And, of course, if you go to the Bitsy comic site, you can find out all about her and her team. Very talented team that has been come together for these comics, the Bitsy Comics. Megan, for the Bitsy Comics, she writes the stories, storyboard chapters, leads project development, sketches episodes, and draws the flats, and puts in lighting and backgrounds, as if that's not enough. Yeah, she's extremely talented, and she will also be in the part of the expo as well. So, yes, we have two new members of the expo, two new members of the panelist list, Erin R. Hodges and Megan Redman. So very excited to have both of them come aboard. But, yeah, keep on the lookout because, yeah, we always have new stuff getting announced. And we have a new wave of panels workshops that are pretty much confirmed, and it's just going to be about another day or two to get all those up on the site. So I will keep you up to date on that. And so looking over here, just looking, checking in the chat room, see if we didn't get anything coming up here. We have, yeah, it looks like Amy is setting up a book tour and setting up a series casting call. So, yeah, she's active with book projects and in the world of film, as always. Yeah, Amy's always got some great stuff going on. And Carol's writing up a storm. She's doing she's got a new novel that she's just loving the writing process of. So, yes, they've got some good vibes going on there in the chat room. So, yeah, fantastic stuff. So, yeah, looking for any other updates there. I think that, all right, we're caught up on that. So, yeah, just keep an eye out on the Imaginarium site for new announcements. Of course, all of our social media channels. If you do feel inclined, think about becoming an individual patron. Those help us a lot. It's not like Patreon. It's just a one-time $75 fee to become an individual patron sponsor. Those help a lot, especially with some of the stuff we're working on right now. And or if you want to become an official sponsor, please do so. Yeah, those help us a lot with the running and expansion of the convention, being able to bring in major guests. I mean, that's always a big expense. And, yeah, we're always working on new opportunities for the convention. So keep that in mind, definitely. And so now I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge tonight's folks that brought you this show. And that would be Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, hashtag Sandy Says Read, and then also that fine fellow, Ren Garcia of the League of Elders series. So first, I will go ahead and give a little spotlight to Sandy. And definitely, if you're online tonight, please do go over there to her YouTube channel, Sandy Says Read, on YouTube, and subscribe and hit the little notification to get all of the updates. Got such a good BookTube channel, always putting out new content, very, very active, and it's really good across the board, covers a lot of stuff, covers writing, she's always giving writing insights, kind of doing lots of good book reviews of indie authors, all kinds of stuff, lots of themed episodes, so you've got a really good channel. So check it out and subscribe, and here's a little bit from Sandy about it.
Hey, Star Chamber listeners. Did you know that author Sandy Lender has a BookTube channel on YouTube? She is using the platform to talk about books and stories and indie authors and new characters you might not have heard of before. And she's doing it all with a positive spin. Check out Sandy Lender at Sandy Says Read on YouTube for all the creative bookish goodness.
Thank you, Sandy. That's right. Hashtag Sandy Says Read. Check it out. And now a little bit from Ren with the famous question at the end. Check out his League of Elders series. You won't be disappointed.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, we are, Ren Garcia. We're definitely weird enough for you, and definitely waiting for that nice confirmation that you're going to be coming and joining us this summer. Yeah, definitely. Trying to get Ren out of his hibernation in Ohio. Yes, it's been a little while, and yeah, we'd love to see him this summer for sure. So be sure to tell him you heard him on the show and encourage him to get out this summer and do some fun stuff and come see us in Louisville. But I will go ahead and bring it aboard. Looks like Holly is finally in the building. This may be her. We'll see. Holly, are you there?
In the house.
There you are. Hi, Holly.
I am here.
Yeah,
well, let me tell you, I have a story. Why I was late? I have a story.
A story. Oh, a story. Oh, no.
I went to take my contacts out, right, because I always put my glasses on to do this show because I'm comfortable. And I was taking my contacts out, and somehow or another, my contact out of my right eye has just disappeared. I had the grandson in here. We were looking. I don't know if it's rolled back in my eye and I don't feel it. So I'm sitting there, and he couldn't even watch because it grosses him out. But I'm sitting there poking my eyeball and poking around it, got it all red and scratched, you know. But I can't find it. We looked on the floor. We looked on the sink. Thought maybe it fell out while I was washing my face or something. And it's just flat gone. We can't find it. So, yeah, it's the weirdest saying every. Only me, you know? Only me.
Yep. Nothing ever happens the usual way with you, Holly. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
always
the contact just don't pop out of your eye, you know? So, yeah.
You're right.
Quite the conundrum. I have no idea where it went.
Well, I'll just hope it's not, you know, didn't get slide up there. So hopefully you got to see up, way to see up there. You can get it checked out.
I looked as much as
boy.
I knew at the light. It'll work its way down. It'll work its way around it. And if my eye gets affected, I'll just have to go have the doctor dig it out of there.
Okay. I'm squeamish. I'm a little squeamish, though, but there. That made me cringe, too. I understand why Bentley was reacting the way he did. Definitely. But do you have any, before we bring on tonight's superstar guest, do you have anything to update us with, Holly?
I don't believe so. Crazy.
So you just make the audience cringe with that story, and then. No, nothing else. Right.
I have done nothing but run errands all day long. Yeah. I didn't really get
That's
any
true. Today was an errand day. Yeah, because we had so much stuff pile up after being sick for, you know, having that fun run with COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff stacked up.
Tomorrow,
well, you got Dewan Hearn.
You have Dewan's in there. I do have to step out just for a little bit tomorrow to take the grandson to his doctor appointment. That won't be bad.
Right. Always an adventure.
Yeah.
Always an adventure.
But I'm here with two kitties.
That's right. And they are good assistants, as always. But I'm going to go ahead because our guest is on deck as I speak. Actually, he's patiently waiting because we bring guests in at the usual time. But I'm going to go ahead and kick it in a little early because I just love tonight's guest. He's awesome. And, yeah, so I will go ahead and begin the introduction. Tonight's guest is an absolute favorite on the Star Chamber Show and also the Imaginarium Convention. In 2013, he started the award-winning sci-fi franchise Submerged Universe. And let me tell you, Submerged Universe is an immense, independently developed franchise. It has films. It has animation. It has a card game, action figures, apparel, and so much more. And he's also recently started a brand new podcast. He is a filmmaker, a screenwriter, comic creator, author, game designer, publisher, you name it. He does it. And so it's my honor and pleasure to welcome back onto the show the one, the only, the awesome Demetrius Witherspoon. Demetrius, your mic is on. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Perfect. Loud and clear.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. It is
there
good
you are.
To be here.
Yes.
Oh,
we're glad to
hear what you're up to lately.
Oh, yes, your podcast, your other podcast home. Now you've got one, but this will always be a home for you. And, yeah, I was making sure. Yeah, we had to catch up with you because every single time there's always something cool going on. I love watching your updates. It's just always just positive stuff coming in. I've been watching you with awards, the new podcast, with the screenings and convention appearances. I mean, you've been a busy guy. So, yes, time to catch up.
Well, you know what? Yes, this is my first home here, being on your podcast, and you and Holly always show the love, so it's good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it has been a whirlwind, even down to this very day, with everything going on, you know, life happening, plus, keeping everything going forward with the business and everything of being a writer, filmmaker, now adding the podcast too, because inspired by you guys, you know, it's always good to give back. I do a lot of panels and things like that, but sometimes it just doesn't feel like it's enough, and I can't reach as many people as I want to inspire others. Say, hey, you can do this too. I started out with nothing. So this can happen for you too.
Well, that's a part of your story I've always been inspired by, and now I've known you for a few years, and yeah, even thank God last convention I actually got to sit down with you and chat for a few minutes. That was nice and in person. And but the thing is that yeah, you have built this from the ground up independently. You didn't come into it with a war chest of resources. You've truly built this from the grassroots level, and it's just built and built and built. And like you said, you know, you've got the creative side, but you've also got all the other hats you have to wear with all the managing of all the projects. I mean, in so many areas. I mean, from game development to animated stuff to, you know, the films themselves to, you know, books to, you know, apparel, card games, everything else. I mean, it's. I tell people about you all the time. I tell you, you know, you are an example that we use with people constantly. And it's really impressive. And people get a chance to see in person. I mean, definitely should. It's really amazing what you have put together. And I do want to hear about everything. I'm excited about the new podcast because I think, you are a very approachable person and very understanding of the creative process and also the indie life and how darn tough it is and how agonizing it can be at times. I mean, you're perfect for hosting something like that. And tell us about it, because that's brand spanking new, the podcast. But give us the info and scoop.
Well, here we go. I actually started and got everything set up for this podcast probably in 2021 because, you know, we were still dealing with the heaviness of COVID, and everybody was doing their podcasts and things like that. So I was like, man, I think I can do this. And because I have a former, you know, being in a band and doing singing and then, you know, all the film and everything, I was like, well, you know, I think I can do something like that. So I really researched it, and again, being on so many other podcasts over the years, I was like, okay. So I got it all set up, and I was like, well, you know, there was so much other things going on at the time. So it was like, okay, when can I launch this? And so it just sit there. I had everything set up. And so I had to figure out which direction I wanted to go. And so, staying with my theme of, Submerge, it was like Get Submerged, sci-fi podcast with, Demetrius Witherspoon. And, you know, talking about my journey as a independent filmmaker, but also, having different ones that are done makeup and actors and things like that come on board to, and also comic book writers and artists coming on board. And they've been part of my team for over 10 years of building this franchise of the Submerge franchise. And so it's like, you know, this is a good way to help educate people, not only about my journey and how that, you know, maybe people can be inspired by that, but also truly, like you said, showing the ins and outs of being an independent filmmaker. And again, no filmmaker or artist or creative has the same journey. So, you know, it's something that you can learn from as ones are trying to create their own journey. So so I finally, this year, I was like, all right, I'm going to pull the trigger, and we're going to get the podcast going, and I'm going to take it easy a little bit because if I space them out enough, we'll do like 6 episodes and see how it goes. And so that's what I've started with. And now it's on Spotify and Amazon podcasts or Amazon Music, and also our website.
Nice, man. Nice. And what's the general format of the show? I mean, as far as the length of episode and typically how many guests are you featuring? What's that looking like right now?
Well, it's going to vary. Some episodes are going to be not only about film, but also wellness and health and mental health as a creative. Those things we have to deal with, even coming from after a convention.
Yeah.
How drained you are, you know, and how much, you know, how do you deal with that after, you know, because it is kind of like it's an adrenaline rush because you're speaking, you're meeting people, and you're representing your creative endeavors, your book, your film. So you're adrenaline's really hot. So dealing with that afterwards, and how do you deal with that afterwards mentally and physically? So some things like that, and also most definitely dealing with that as you doing filmmaking, because it is a lot of work. A lot of people don't know, even though you have many hands in the pot, Talia, as a director, you're responsible for everybody that's around you. And so you're coordinating that and then also trying to make sure you get the best shots before you go back and start editing and say, oh, my God, we didn't get that and we didn't do this. You know, you don't want to get back and editing and be missing those things. So, so dealing with that also, your health and mental health, that's so important too as a creative, because there's highs, there's lows, and not only getting that kind of information from me, but also other creatives, how they deal with those things. So dealing with that. Then also, we got the comics, we got the games, bringing different ones on for that. And also, there are going to be some episodes that are how I created my script and just straight script reading each episode. I'm just having that read straight out. And so, and talking about transmedia and things like that. So there's a lot. There's a lot we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, with you. Yeah. It's like the submerged universe encompasses every sphere. I mean, you could talk about gaming. I mean, obviously you do soundtracks, so it touches on music. You've got books and publishing. You've got films. You've got, I mean, everything. I mean, yeah, it's a very comprehensive universe. So, yeah, you could talk about the ins and outs of the management of these different areas or the creative aspects. And, yeah, I see a lot of possibilities. And you've worked with a huge number of people in the aggregate when you look at the full spread of everything you do. I mean, you really do. I mean, it's an impressive number of people, you know, when you start adding up all the people on the films and the art side of things and production side, everything. I mean, it's a lot of folks. So, yeah, I'm sure you can and some folks that have some pretty good names, too. You've worked with some folks that have some good names out there. And I'm sure you're going to draw a few of them in.
Yeah, you know, and I've reached out to some of them. We'll have them on as we keep going forward. I really like doing this, and I kind of get sad after I do my panel and it's over with, you know, and people might have more questions. Sometimes they come to the booth to get more information or what have you, but I really like it because when I started, I didn't have anybody. I didn't know about, you know, I didn't know about Imaginarium and what kind of panels and workshops you had for so many authors and filmmakers. And so those different things, you know, they help inspire and keep you going. Even if you've done some things, you're always learning something new. And so that's what I appreciate about Imaginarium convention also over the years.
Well, last year I witnessed you as a mentor, it was a really nice moment when I was hanging out with you. I finally got to the dealer room and got to sit down with some friends like you. And that was, for me, that was, you know, one of my highlights of the weekend, was just to sit behind the booth with you and chat. I had been wanting to do that for a couple of years, few years now, and finally did it. But while we were doing that, though, I did get to see a cool moment happen that showed how you are and your mentorship, because Philip had come up, our mutual friend Philip, he'd come up with his daughter, who's a young artist, and she's been developing her skills the last several years, and she just came up just so, I mean, you could tell how kind of excited and happy she was to present her latest work to you, to see what she's been up to, and I could tell that, you know, she had gotten so much encouragement from you, and you'd been a part of her journey in terms of, you know, being a, you know, supportive person in her art world, and it was fun to watch both Philip and his daughter with you as you went through, you know, her latest work, which has really gotten, I mean, really good. I mean, she does like an anime style. She's gotten really good, but it's so cool to watch the, you know, just how happy and excited she was to present that portfolio to you, and it's kind of like you could tell that she was hoping it made you proud, and I could tell, you know, there's that mentorship connection that you all had, and I'm sure that, you know, that's knowing you, I know there's a lot of folks out there that are like that, but it was fun for me to actually watch that happen in real time, and that was fun.
Well, thanks, man. That's the biggest part of going to convention and other conventions, is meeting so many young people that, and older ones, that they have these goals or talents and things like that, but they've never had anybody to really show it to or inspire them, hey, you know what, you're doing good, make some tweaks here, but keep going, you know, and think outside the box, do this. That is the highlight of doing booths, and I talk to so many writers and directors, and I say, you really need to get a booth. Even if you don't have a lot of movies or what have you, but when you meet other people, and especially younger people, because they need that guidance. They might watch YouTube or what have you, but they might not have the resources near them or know how to use the resources that they have. So when you can give back in that sense, and like you said, with that, with his daughter, and his son, I've been coming there for almost 5 years, something like that.
At least, six. Five or six.
So at least the last 3 years, I would say, they've come back every year to see me. And like you said, her art is amazing. And even with the disability that she might have, she's done and learned so much. And it was just, and you can see the excitement that they have when they're able to show their work, you know, and not there to put anybody down or what have you. It's there to inspire ones. And so, and it's an inspiration to me, because just to see someone so young with talent like that, and when they come back, they're even better. And I'm just like, and parents are like, okay, so what should I do? Like, look, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but this is what you can do. And so, that's such a blessing to be able to talk to ones and see their progress, and it's happened many a times. Fathers with their sons come, hey, you know, he's got his little movie he's trying to make, and what suggestions do you have? You know, where can he get it out, and what should he do? And so, it truly is better to give than receive. It truly is.
But yeah, that wasn't the only moment that weekend, I know for sure, because one of the things is when we got all of our photos gathered from the weekend from various places, some of the ones that we, you know, selected to pass along in our channels and that we used to highlight, you know, last year were pictures of people at your booth with you and other kids who looked like they were, you know, on the morning, you know, their faces are lit up like Christmas morning with you, and they just look so excited and taking pictures with you in front of your big banner and banners. And yeah, and then other people posing with other guests and stuff of getting their photos taken with you. I mean, it was just great. I mean, you just tell, you know, you could see just how happy people are, you know, with you. And your booth is awesome. I mean, it's won an award at Imaginarium in the past for your booth display itself. So I mean, yeah, you always have a great booth. But yeah, you could tell the excitement that people have when they're around you. You can see it just come through those photos. And that's why I always love to share those from time to time in our you know, X-App channel, or our, you know, maybe it'll be TikTok, or maybe it'll be Instagram or anything, or Threads or wherever. I mean, we love to share Facebook. We love to share those photos of you because, yeah, it's genuine. I mean, the kids just look so happy it's great. It's great. And I think it represents you so well. I mean, it just gives, because I've known you and, you know, we've had conversations about the creative world. And so I've had a chance to get to know you a bit. And I love it when I can find an image like that I think reflects you so well. And those are neat moments.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate not only ones that come to the booth, but also other vendors, you know, getting to know other vendors, because it's all about a collaborative efforts that we can make. I've some authors there that was like, well, how do I get my book turned into a script, you know? I called somebody in Atlanta that I knew, and they partner up, you know, so that helped them out. So it is a collaborative effort, and even if I go live while I'm there, you know, I'm trying to support and show other vendors around me what their book is about, or what they're trying to have put in front of everyone, you know. So it just feels good doing that, and they work hard on what they're doing, and so why not, you know?
Yep. Definitely. And I know Holly enjoys working with you in programming. I know she can comment on that.
Yeah,
as far as you're always always great.
People love it. I know I get comments all the time. Panels, you know, that you're on, even other panelists or fellow panelists are like, we really enjoy Demetrius, you know, and I hear it from attendees. They're like, he is so nice, you know, and I'm like, yep, that's Demetrius. And, you know, people say, do you think he'll, you know, I've had people ask me, well, do you think he talked to me about screenwriting or getting into it? I'm like, 100%. I said, he will definitely talk to you and give you advice and help you in any way he can. I said, you know, he'll definitely, he's a great mentor. So, yeah, I have sent people to your table before. I'm like, you go see him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Point him in the direction.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and and shopping at your booth is quite a variety. You got so much cool stuff. It's hard to decide what to get.
Do you got any new games planned, or are you adding to this one?
Right now, we're just concentrating on this one. You know, it's you know, we've been putting it out and everything, and with my partner who created it, Brett Robinson, he had some medical issues where he couldn't really do the game with us to play test it and things like that with one, or demo it. We're not play testing anymore. It's demo it.
Right.
But, you know, we're getting in people, more hands of people, especially as I'm doing more cons. And we even just had at IU, because I just spoke at IU in Bloomington, Indiana, the college there, and they've expressed interest to have it into their library in their game section. So yeah, so it's still going, and that's the thing as independent filmmakers or creators, you got to realize that not everybody in the world has heard of what you do, so you keep pushing because you never know whose hands and who people are, what people are interested in. And, you know, yeah, so so right now just still getting it into places and selling it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably have to do another GoFundMe or something like that because it's expensive. To get those games printed, I mean, it is, So you really got to have a GoFundMe or something to kind of help with that. Or, you know, maybe a gaming company will eventually pick it up. But, you know, it's this own process. So, so yeah, that's kind of where we are with that, and you know, people are still into it and having a good time with it. So,
well, good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Well.
Yep.
Well, Holly, you know, Steve Jackson of Steve Jackson Games is going to be there this year as an Imaginator. Just saying. In addition to the games, though, I'm curious about what's on the front burner for you right now in the film area, because that was the, you know, obviously the foundation of the Submerged Universe, you know, is your films, and that's definitely at the core of it. What's going on the film front right now?
Well, for some of the listeners that don't know what Submerged is about, it's about a lady that gets experimented on and thrown into a multi-universe, and she has to find her way out and also fight for her daughter. So it expands over five films, and then we also have an animated pilot and novelization, and then we got the games and comics and everything else that goes with that transmedia package. So moving forward, I do have a comic that is still working on writing it. But it's the Submerged Universe Other Worlds, and it goes further into that universe, and we actually go to another universe dealing with some of my characters from the previous films in that. And actually, even though I'm doing a comic on it, I really want to do a short film out of it too. So been secretly working on some things to try to make that happen. I wanted to shoot this year, but we'll see. So if people go on the Submerged Universe comic page, they'll see the cover of what the comic book is looking like. But I started kind of working on expanding the universe, and so because Submerged Universe is about multi-universes and things like that. And so, you know, there's more stories I want to tell.
Well, I imagine there's a ton. I mean, looking at what you have out there right now, so that's got to be.
Right there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
yeah.
Deciding what to do next, you know, that's what I would think would be one of the challenges of being you is what story to tell next and which media to do it in. I mean, yeah, you've got a lot of factors at play with this when you're doing a new project.
Yeah, like you said, Stephen, it is a challenge of figuring out what I'm going to do next because there's so much. You gotta have the money for it, and I don't want to. As you're building, you're trying to get better and go to the next level, so I don't want to put out any crap. So, so it's just really like, okay, what can I do that's, still affordable for me to do, but also still pushing forward with this story. And so that's why I'm looking at the comic right now. We're going to do that, and working with my artists in the Philippines, to do the artwork. So right now I'm finishing it up, writing that. And with all of that, I still have a Galaxy of Subversion, which in my timeline of Submerged Universe, after Submerged Blue Star, which was our last film we just came out with in, well, the end of 2022, that was to go into Submerged Galaxy of Subversion, continuing the story of Nareen and her daughter, Liz. But that's where we ran into one of my lead actresses passed away. And so that was a challenge of how do I go forward with that storyline without her. And so that's been working on how to rewrite things and how that would work going forward. Sometimes it's just challenging, it's like, do you replace the actress, with another actress? Sometimes you can do that.
That's the villain with grief, too. I mean, you were close to her. That was your friend. And so you're also dealing with grief and then the guilt of, well, should I replace her or not? But, they say the show must go on. So, you've got to look at that. And I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of things on your shoulders,
Yeah, one of my favorite television series is Demetrius was Spartacus, and they had to deal with a similar situation, where they had to replace the Spartacus actor himself, Andy Whitaker, he had cancer and passed, and they continued, and they did find somebody that was able to step in and do a really good job, but it was, this situation like you were facing, which is really hard because that's, you've got somebody that's like already the heart and soul of a lot. And then, like you said, when something like that happens, I mean, what do you do? And, but sometimes there is a path and, like the Spartacus show that ran a few years ago and there is a way forward sometimes. And it's gotta be tough though.
So, just dealing with those dynamics, that's why I was like, okay, well, it's not gone, and where I want to go, Galaxy of Subversion. So we kind of put that on hold right now. We're kind of working on it, but it's kind of on hold right now. But this other is, I can do this and get this out in enough time. And it's really going to be a fun piece. Just already checking out the costumes and having some practical makeups done with this Submerge Other Worlds. I can't wait to get that out.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Fun. Yeah, because it's I've seen a lot of good stuff in the indie comic world, and I know that Kickstarter has been a great platform for a lot of indie comic publishers, and you know, there's been a resurgence in interest in that, and there's been some obviously very successful folks like Eric July. I know Eric July brought in millions, you know, for his projects, and sometimes these things really can catch fire. I mean, they really can, and like you said, you know, it is a step toward doing a film project, especially with comics almost give you the vision for the storyboard for your short film once you get all the art done.
Yeah, they do.
In a way. Yeah.
It's not an easy task. I know, for one thing, what I try to keep in mind, I'm an independent filmmaker. So whose time am I on? I'm on my time, you know. And mm-hmm. so if I need to take some time, you know, to kind of gather my thoughts, re-energize, and really slowly work on this direction I want to go, I can do that. Because I'm not in the Hollywood realm where, hey, we got to get this going.
Right.
And then you look at stuff in Hollywood, a movie comes out and, we've been working on this for 10 years and we finally got the money. And then, I try to keep all that in mind too. A lot of people think, hey, yeah, I got a film, let me get it out, boom, you know, and things happen. No, sometimes it takes years.
Yeah. It's like sometimes hurry up and wait sometimes because it takes many years to finally get the full green light and then the project launches and people don't understand the years that go in back of that and that's one of the more frustrating parts of being a filmmaker, I think, is a lot of that. Yeah, the time it takes sometimes.
Yeah,
but. But I mean, you're going out and making things happen, and I don't know how much you can talk about this publicly, but I mean, you have gotten attention from some pretty large entities out there in the entertainment world, and you know, they have reached out to you at times, and I know that there's folks watching what you're doing for sure. Yeah, you've definitely had some amazing people watching you.
I can't go in great detail, but, you know, one of them was Disney, and mm-hmm. no matter what people want to say about Disney, you know, they are, you know, they are a big studio. They're doing big things, and, and there's other companies, too. And so my main thing to people that are creatives that are trying to do something, don't think that something happens overnight, because 9 times out of 10, it does not, you know, and sometimes those things don't last, but it took time. I've been building this franchise from the ground up over 10 years now, and, you know, making sure everything looks good. As much as possible that I can do. And so when you're moving, constantly moving, people are going to take notice sooner or later. And so you have to look at the long haul, the long run, not the short, you know, thing. Oh, I got to make this. If you're in it for the money, you got a hard way to go, you know.
Personally, I think if Disney is listening, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's, you know, your franchise is fresh and engaging and something that absolutely, I think, would get people excited. And there's been a lot, you know, without getting into it too much, I mean, there has been some projects that have not been doing so well for Disney and not making money for them. And I think time is now for them to to go for, you know, some original stuff and you know, to be the next, you know, like Star Wars franchise and all. And we got to get out of this just rehashing the same old things over and over and reboots and remakes and just kind of treading the same ground and got to start opening up to, you know, new stuff. And that's one of the things that just frustrates me to no end, watching a lot of these studios. And it's like, yeah, I mean, why don't they get, you know, get, I mean, the people are out there to be the next big new franchise, the big next big thing. Uh-huh. They're there. They're you. Demetrius is one of them. And it's just like, man, I just wish they would take the plunge and submerge into your world. I really wish they would. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, with this business, anything is possible. The other thing is the possibility. There's so many other avenues too.
Yes.
Especially with streaming the way it is now.
I have my own
streaming service. I don't have to go through a middleman. So all my films and everything are streaming. It's Submerged Universe TV. .com if you look that up. Again, there's so many other studios out there. Plus, looking at Tyler Perry, that is a prime example of building your own.
Yep.
Making it your own, you know?
Yep.
And so
round up.
I really do my research. Yeah. Do my research and follow him and things like that. And so things can be done, you know, it just takes time. It is about timing. Oh, I was at this place at the right time when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kind of look for those possibilities. And sometimes it's not right then and there. You know, somebody that worked for Marvel, it wasn't until years later they said, hey, I came to your booth and seen you, you know, at a convention, and, you know, but I didn't have time to talk to you. I was like, oh, my God. And, you know, I was like, you don't know. So you have to be out there and just enjoying the process and, you know, what little successes you have, and eventually things will come about. The money and everything else will come.
Yeah, because you never know if the person you talk to, if they're not a big producer, they may know one. You know, that's why I say networking is so valuable. It is so important to be networking. That is more important at a convention than about anything you do other than learning, you know, going to workshops or panels. But that is the most important thing is networking. You don't know if that person you're talking to maybe 5 years down the line becomes the next big thing. And, hey, they remember talking to you, you know, and they give you a call and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in producing your film or whatever. And you're like, really? You know, and – yeah, so you just never know. That's 100% right.
Yeah, and, you know, and treating other people like you want to be treated, that goes a long way, you know. It's been proved, throughout this.
And we all had to start somewhere.
Business. Yeah, we got to start somewhere. But the key is to keep moving and keep getting better at what we do. People are always watching. They'll never really say anything, but I've seen it. Like, when I've hit some moments throughout my career and people come out of the woodwork, you're like, where were you when – you know, and I was just struggling, and now you're like, hey, like, wow, okay. So people are always watching.
Yep, it's amazing, how many people are keeping – keeping up on things, and they may not necessarily reach out to let you know, but yeah, they're definitely, you know, a lot of folks watching what's happening out there. And I mean, but you've been getting around. That's why I'm like, yeah, with your time management skills must be incredible. Cause I mean, you have so many spheres you work in and operate in and manage, but you also have a very active appearance schedule. I mean, wow. I mean, I've been watching on your site and, or, you know, on LinkedIn and other places, and you are always posting something about an appearance, and or, you know, you've gotten a new award for something. I mean, you've been doing a lot of events lately. Catch us up on some of the latest ones, because there's been, yeah, some nice recognitions of you lately, which is good to see.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for saying those things. You know, like, we had some awards for Blue Star, which was my last film that I had did, or it wasn't the last film. It was one of the last in the Submerged series. But it was, you know, at Imaginarium and then so many other film festivals, it was winning awards. And then from there, in January 23rd, I had the privilege of being able to have Submerge in the Black Film Center and Archives of IU.
I saw that. Yeah.
Congratulations. University. So, thanks. And they have films from Spike Lee, mm-hmm. Sidney Poitier, all these greats. My film is in there with him in the vault. And they
That's
put
cool.
me in the vault, one of them. And it's just amazing. And having Black film makers and from all over the world have their you know, have the work submitted in there. It is an amazing thing to be able to see all of that. Yeah, it's an honor. So I was able to do that, and I did a speaking engagement, and a lot of the professors and things came out to listen and support. And and then I was able to talk to so many. And so we had that in January. And then I'm doing some conventions this year, but I'm trying to leave some room so I could do some filming. And
right.
And plus I want to write the comic. And also, I've a poetry book that we've been trying to finish up, Submerged Universe Poetry. So I'm trying to get all that finished up this year. And plus, on top of that, run this business and then the full-time business, working with Mills on Wheels. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's a lot. And so I on my appearances, I was kind of cutting it back so I can be able to be creative and kind of get some of these things out and done.
Right. Now, you did bring up one that I was going to ask you about, and that's your work with Meals on Wheels and the film that you did that's attached with that, because that's a very interesting side, and because that's not part of the Submerge universe. That's something different that you did, and that's really interesting. So tell us a little bit about that, because I thought that was awesome.
Well, thanks. So I do communication coordinating with Meals on Wheels, and my part of the job, I work with another person in the office, but I work on like the websites and films and you know, any social media and things like that. And so they were doing a fundraiser to get funds to help ones in the community. And so it kind of already had like a Back to the Future kind of like theme to it. So it's like, well, we're already in the movie kind of like theme. Let's shoot a short instead of just, you know, a commercial. It's dealing with a patient that has dementia and the effects and things and how that affects the family and how Meals on Wheels, how, you know, they really help also as ones are dealing with that, because a lot of times it's hard to get the meals and stuff together and they're already dealing with so much. And so I wanted to show those dynamics. And so we went on and shot a short film on that. And we showed it at this function, which had over 300-something people there. And it really got a good review from them, and everybody really enjoyed it. What we did, because we wanted to get it out to more people and also bring acknowledgement back to Meals on Wheels and what they do for so many in the community. And so I put it in the Heartland Film Festival. And then if anybody knows about the Heartland Film Festival, they are they're on the trail of going to the Oscars. So even their shorts,
mm-hmm.
If you win at the Heartland Film Festival, they're able to kind of go to the next spot. So a lot of things that go to the Oscars, a lot of different films have already come through Heartland Film Festival. You'll see them there a lot of times first. So they have, you know, feature-length films, but also shorts. So this indie shorts is part of that Heartland branch. And so it's that's where it is right now. But we haven't put it out fully. It's in with Heartland. And so we should know something probably in a few months. And that's really been hard to hold on to because I want so many people to see it. Just like you asking about it, there's been like people like, well, where can I see it? Because I really want to see it. It's really a powerful piece. Just writing it and then finally seeing the actors and everything breathe life into it. I had tears in my eyes, and it's touched so many people that just seen that. You know, from that night on, they've kind of like, you know, this is something, you know, my father, we went through, you know, with my father or my mother, or, you know, it affects so many more people than a lot of people know.
Now, creatively, stepping out of the Submerge universe to do a different kind of project like that, what were some of the – did it kind of recharge your batteries, you know, when you did that and then got back to Submerge? What was the creative vibe? Because obviously you've been immersed in the Submerge world. And then to do something different, what was the creative effects of that on you? And was it did you get to try some different things and that you maybe can't do in the other one, or vice versa, or how was it creatively to do something different?
It was exhilarating, really, because in between time, I always want to keep my chops up of what I'm doing, but. I listen to podcasts and roundtables of directors, award-winning directors and things, and find out different things that they do because they're not too much different from us independent filmmakers. Just a lot of times they just have a little bit more money, but you learn so much.
Yeah.
And so really just kind of implementing that, like, the scenes between the actors to really let them set in that scene for a minute instead of, okay, they say the line, okay, all right, good, cut. That's, you know, no, let's set in it for a minute. The look, the breathing, and I try to see what else they're going to bring. And so I usually do about three takes. So, you know, kind of like two of them are exactly what's on paper. But then like the third one, give me something new. Give me something, where would you feel this would go? And a lot of times, I tell you, I get so much out of that. Sometimes those are some of the best takes also. And Clint Eastwood, I've heard, like, a lot of times he don't say action, or he don't say action. And I was like, wow, okay, so that kind of, unless I'm doing action scenes, you know, where there's fight scenes and stuff like that, yeah, because that's timing. Everybody's got to be timed out. That's a dance. With the speaking, dialogue and things like that, I just, you know, make sure the camera's rolling, sound, and whenever you're ready. So that just kind of, you know, it takes the pressure off of action. And it's just like whenever you're ready and the breathing. And it just, that's how I was doing this one. And it just felt, the energy in the room was just so good and peaceful, and you're getting so much. And I like it when those things come together and the energy is right in the room, and I get teared up a little bit because I'm like, this is such a beautiful scene. That's powerful. And that's kind of what I got from this one, and then working with different DPs and things like that, directors of film, you're working with new personalities and their talents and what they bring to the table. So seeing that and down to the music, because this wasn't just we bought music somewhere. We had a Zach, composer. He's done films for Netflix and things like that, and working with him on this short was just beautiful. He brought things, like, if you were just listening to it without the film, you'd be like, wow, this is wild. It's taking me to a new place. It's really it opens your mind to different things. But then when you set it with that film, it just brings it all together, and it's beautiful. It don't overpower the dialogue or what you're seeing. It just works hand in hand with it. So working with composers like that, because this music's been played in the orchestras and things like that in Bloomington. Like I said, he's orchestrated music for films for Netflix, so The Good Catholic and things like that. So, from the writing down to working with the actors to even working with new composers, you know, we're creating something different, a new kind of feel to things. And so it's a beautiful collaborative effort.
Hey, Holly.
Yep.
I was listening to Demetrius, and a thought hit me, and I'd love you to also comment on this, and Demetrius as well, but this is not what he is describing, that dynamic of letting the scene breathe, getting a climate where, you know, the actors and actresses can do variant takes, variations, and letting it breathe, let it be organic, let the feel of it come together, having the organic team collaborative kind of atmosphere. That's not going to be so easy for everybody. I know there's a lot of hype out there about the text to prompt AI film creation. A lot of people are, you know, seeing a lot of that tech and thinking, oh yeah, you know, text to prompt, you know, filmmaking through AI. And I'm sitting here thinking, listening to Demetrius, and I'm like, you know, I mean, good luck trying to come up with the kind of scene that can stir you to the soul like Demetrius is talking about, just sitting there doing text to prompt stuff on AI. I think you're going to miss a lot in that area for sure. But you know, I know that's a big area of discussion right now. But yeah, what he's describing right now, that shows you where, you know, the traditional, I guess you could use the word now, traditional filmmaking process can produce something that I think has a feel and a power that I don't think is going to be so easy for AI to match.
Oh, impossible. It'll be impossible because what's punched into them is human life, but they're not human. They don't have the humanity, the human soul. They don't have that spark in their eyes. You know, they don't have that nuance in the way that, you know, the dialogue's presented and different tones of voice and, you know, letting the actor actually breathe in and, you know, be their character, be, you know, raw and subjective and they're close to that. They've studied this character. They've, you know, are in character. They bring their own personality out a little bit into that. And it's a mixture. You can't force that. It is organic.
I agree on that part, and they can't do that right now. But I do feel it is a tool, just like anything else. Just like when visual effects, you know, CGI came out, people were like, oh my God, you know. But when it was used as a tool and a combination of live action and that, when it was done well, it's a beautiful thing. It makes beautiful art, beautiful pieces that you won't, you know, you can't feel or see anywhere else. But I think as you use it as a tool, not just a complete thing, because it's not there right now. And I did see some benefits out of it, but like you said, the human experience out of it, it doesn't have that, or it can't create that right now. And because it still needs humans to feed into it and tell it, you know, what to do and how to do it. But it's not there completely yet. I do see on some things, if it's used as a tool, it makes you work better and faster on some things. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can benefit to is like when I do my posters and things, my latest posters with like using Photoshop and it has the little AI in it, there are a million things that I couldn't blend my work together, you know, as quickly and as seamless if I didn't have that tool. So I see it working in that sense. But I do agree right now, yeah, it's nowhere near having the heart of the human behind writing and things like that. But, you know, it's not going anywhere. So it's like people got to figure out how to use it. Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. What I think that AI tech can really raise the production value. It can allow an indie filmmaker to go head to head with Hollywood in production value. No question about it.
Yeah.
And that part is intriguing. What I don't want to see is throwing out the baby with the bathwater and losing the other part of it, and that's the collaborative performance aspect. Because I think if you use them, you know, both spheres together, I think you can create magic in the same way. Like, you know, obviously CGI had a huge effect when it came in, but people that over relied on CGI made terrible films. you know, where they just, you know, oh, hey, let's show us a bunch of eye candy, but let's forget about the writing, the acting, the performances. And yeah, we've seen those films and yeah, I mean, it's, you can't just rely on the tech. I mean, yeah, but if you do use the tech, in the way I think it can be used, yeah, you can add some serious firepower to an indie project. But at the same time, yeah, I want to see that scene where Demetrius is letting the scene breathe with actors that are immersed in it and bring that magic to life. And yeah, and if it's got, if it's set against a environment that's been AI created that looks spectacular, all the better. But yeah, I still want to see that touch, that human performance. And you bet. Because you do get good performances out of your actors. I encourage people to stream your films and see what I'm talking about. Because yeah, you get very quality performances out of your cast as a director.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's so key as we move forward to, look at it in that way. Because things are always growing and moving, but as an independent filmmaker, because you don't have a lot of money. Those things are kind of key. It was just like, I didn't have a lot of money to have somebody keep doing my posters. So I had to teach myself how to do posters. And, I even asked the guy that was doing my posters, how do you do this little part? He was reluctant to doing that, but I was like, man, I can't afford you right now, because it's all coming out of pocket. And not that we never worked together again, but once he showed me some things, it was like, okay. Because I kind of, my background is art. I love art. I was doing portraits and things like that. So that's still part of my thing, creating posters and things like that. It's just another form of art. And that's really helped me as I went forward. And, I just think, if people have the right mindset, especially independent filmmakers, this is never, we've never been in this kind of predicament before. Not predicament, I don't know what the word is, but this time period of intervention, I guess the only other time was when digital camera started,
Yes.
And
yep.
It started getting
the revolution.
Enough. So we could, yeah. So we could start
desktop video.
That.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
The first desktop. Yeah. So, when people could do their editing at home on their PCs and Macs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a seismic shift.
Yeah.
That was a big step. But this is going to be interesting because it's in a conversation that we're having in the book world, we're having it in the music world, obviously, where suddenly they're making AI generated songs of artists that have passed away, things like that. And there's a lot of weird stuff out there and certainly film, there's a lot of buzz around some of the text prompt AI, projects that are out there that have demoed some pretty spectacular stuff. But the thing that I was saying, just caution that you can't throw out everything. You've got other elements that I think you need to still retain, and that's where I think the magic can be at in integrating it. And I think that's where people like you can stand out, use some of that for the firepower and the eye-catching production value, but bring that talent that you have for getting the good performances out. And you're going to shine far more than somebody that's just sitting there just relying completely on the tech, just in the same way as CGI movies I talked about that were too reliant on the CGI. You'll see the difference.
Most definitely. And it's a tricky thing right now. But, I know other filmmakers and even visual effects artists that, they're realizing where it can be used and how it can be used. Believe me, we're having talks too. He's like, okay, so if we tweak that kind of like that, then that will give us this result, you know, combining with the visual effects artist, what he can bring to the table. So, so yeah, those talks are happening because we want our stories to get out. And, you know, everything is expensive. I mean, down to the groceries, the everything.
Oh, yeah.
So
whatever
little bit we can get to get our stories out, you know, the best way we can, you know, without infringing on other people's work, you know, go for it, you know. And I always tell people that, like, oh, how do I get into it? I was like, pull out your phone. Your phone shoots 4K. And if you don't believe those things will work, go listen to Zack Snyder, who just did Rebel Moon on Netflix. And he tells you, he's like, look, you want to get something done? I'm going to show you how to do it on your phone. And within a minute and a half, he tells you some key things you can do with your phone to get even his look of how he does stuff.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So looking at those different things to get your story out and, you know, and out to people. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny because, it's kind of anecdotal, but Holly was out with one of our young ones going to the choir performance of her little boyfriend. And afterwards, I mean, they wanted to get a picture together outside the school. And Holly had a setting on her camera that she really likes a lot, and she took the photo. And I mean, it looks like a studio grade, you know, photo shot, shallow depth of field, just perfect contrast.
Yeah.
I mean, just a perfect photo. You think it was a pro setup? Every aspect about it looks like a pro photo. And again, it's just
studio.
Yeah, just taken on her phone. You're exactly right. I mean, it's incredible what a phone can do. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Where was this when I was in high school and college? Where was this?
You know?
God, that would save me a lot of grief.
I tell my kids all the time, if I had the technology like you do now, I would be a millionaire.
Yeah, me too. I would have been a lot farther along if I had gotten to start with that kind of firepower early.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why. Say to them, you know, stop scrolling and start using. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. There's a T-shirt. Right. Stop scrolling. Start using. That's a T-shirt. Right there.
Yeah.
Holly, remember that. Stop scrolling. Start using. That's genius. I love it. Oh, man.
They have the power of the sun in their hands.
So true.
They have no idea the struggle of us having to buy a disposable camera, a 110, and then you had to take your film back, and then you had to wait a day. There wasn't 1 hour photo at the beginning. You had to wait a day to get your photo back, and then half of them you couldn't even use because your thumb was in the way or so, you know, the lighting was bad or because you couldn't tell.
Unless you had the mystical device known as a Polaroid, the magical Polaroid, and then you can watch it develop right there.
That was a pretty cool camera. I had a 35mm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. That's what I learned photography on.
Roll a film, know. It ain't like our phones where we could, I could take some wonderful food photography.
Oh, her food shots
pictures.
Are gorgeous.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like a talent. I don't know, a hidden talent I didn't even know I had because I love to cook, you know. And I take all these food pictures with the phone, and I'm like, these are magazine quality. So, yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, if the kids out here, young people, you don't have money for all these, you know, different equipment, are you know, cameras are very expensive.
Yeah, high-end. Yeah, high-end stuff, yeah.
High-end cameras, Black Magics, all that. I mean, Red, they're very expensive. Use your phone. Use your phone. It's 4K. It's got the capability. You know, like you said,
as an indie filmmaker, sure.
Use it. You know, we all got to start somewhere. Use what's at your fingertips. And you
stop scrolling
and
start using.
That's I love it.
I love
There's a lot of libraries now. We were up at Dayton at the Wright Writers of Dayton here a few weeks ago, speaking and answering questions and stuff that their writer group had. They had this ginormous, I mean, just unbelievable library. It was just insane. We were in
awe.
Beautiful. But they had a media room for children that were underprivileged that wanted to come in, create. They said they had a lot of kids that come in and made
a green room, yeah. Green
they
screen
green
rooms,
room.
Yeah.
Really nice camera set up for them, sound. And they said they had a lot of kids that do rap videos. And I just thought that was incredible.
Yep.
And they could
rent
out the computer. They even let them rent out laptops. As long as they bring them
down
back, they'll let them rent it out. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Yeah,
so
downtown
I mean,
Dayton, nice
available.
Stuff.
Just check around.
Yeah.
But
what I could have done with a green screen room in my high school college years, I would have had a field day. That would have been a blast.
Oh, yeah. And
but,
just to get it from your local library, you know.
Yeah.
I think I remember
getting
that projector, you know, where you, back in our day, you just put a picture under it and project up on the screen, you know. You could get that from the library. It was a big old thing.
That was our top end. That was as good as it got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really high tech, buddy.
Oh, that's awesome. So,
we're getting see what's available.
But we are getting near to the end of the show, so I do want to go over, so you can promote. Again, we talked about you're working to get the new comic book out, and then potentially after that you're going to hopefully move into a film project tied to that. We did talk about that a bit, but do you have any merchandise that's coming out in the near future, and what are your upcoming appearances in the near term that you might want to promote? Anything that you want to promote that's coming out soon or you're appearing at?
Well, I'm always people can check out my work at Submerged Universe TV. TNV.com. And they'll be able to stream all five films, and they also get extras, so they'll either be able to buy it there or rent it. Also, we're going to be creating more content to go on there. You know, as we make more Submerge films, that is going to be the one of the main places to find all those Submerge Universe shows and things like that. But what's coming up, we also have the comics. We already have two comics, 51X and also Light. Those are on my website, and they're going to be on the streaming service very soon. And also Submerge Other Worlds. We got more comics coming out with that, but the first one I'm looking at doing a comic and a short film off of that comic to go along with that. And then also
Very cool.
Galaxy Subversion. We're still working on that. And I have another sci-fi drama that just kind of been keeping under the wraps, but we have started to meet and talk about that. Pre-production things, and so just stay tuned for I can't say too much more about that, but it's pretty epic.
Nice.
So can't wait to say something more about that, but Right now, yeah, those comics. And then I will be appearing at PopCon in Louisville. Let's see. Hold on. I have my dates. So first is PopCon Indy, which is April 26th through the 28th. And then PopCon Louisville is August 23rd through 25th.
Nice.
So those are next place I'll be doing a panel. We'll have the Submerge booth there. And, you know, look forward to seeing people. And come on up. And even if you don't buy anything, let's talk. Let's talk sci-fi. Let's talk comics. Let's talk about art. Let's just talk about life. We could do that too.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely look forward to seeing ones there. And again, I'm kind of using this time this year to really work on these new projects so we can, in 2025, you know, everything will be coming out.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, it's good to catch up with you tonight.
Though.
Oh, go ahead, Dolly.
I have one more question. Demetrius,
yes.
Are you watching Resident Alien?
I've caught a few episodes. My show right now is Halo. Oh, my God, I love Halo. Season one,
yeah.
And that's season two right now. And my other sci-fi show is Foundation. Which I think the third season is coming, but
yeah,
those are my two sci-fi shows right now until my Star Trek episodes start coming.
Yes, yes, I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Love my Star Trek. Yes, but
we
get the best trick out of Resident Alien. You've got to, when you get a chance, delve into
it.
It
cracks me up. God.
The screenwriters, you will appreciate the dialogue.
Yeah.
It is hysterical.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to say I have three spirit characters in the world of media now. One is Eddie Munson from Stranger Things, Nandor, the vampire from What We Do in the Shadows, and now I can officially say Harry VanderSpiegel from Resident Alien. Yeah, definitely my spirit characters.
Yeah.
I love everything about those characters. They crack me. They hit me just in the right way. But, yeah, I like them. But yeah, that's a good one.
I have to check that out. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
I was curious to see if you were watching that.
I'll have to get into that. You know, it's just so much. So I was like, okay, which show am I going to get into? You know, it's worse than just having a satellite dish because there's so much, you know, these days. Between
overwhelming.
That, and, you know, I went to go see Dune. Oh, man, that was amazing. Just really
yes, Holly.
Yeah. Wait.
We're going this week.
Yeah.
I've been telling Holly all week that we've got to go see it.
Go see that.
We've got to see
it.
Yeah. Because, of course, I love the books.
You've got to see it on the biggest screen.
Yeah.
The biggest screen that you can and just be immersed in that world, you know. I think I just seen to my post, like, a joke that, you know, everyone in Hollywood is looking for sand now, you know, to be in their film because it truly is a epic movie. Just that story world that they've done. So, we'll talk about that.
Yes, we will soon.
Experience.
with
that, but. Yeah, everybody go check that out. If you really, truly sci-fi into that, just go because, you know, this is that first-time Star Wars thing, you know, standing in line. It's one of those, you know, like there's something there that's going to be there forever. So, yeah,
right.
Check that out.
Special.
Uh-huh.
Well, I tell you what, it was great to get – it will be great to get immersed into the Dune world, but tonight it was great to get submerged into your world, Demetrius, and loved it, and always just such a blast catching up with you. You've got such great stuff going on and constantly building and marching forward, and yeah, we absolutely love you, and of course we're always a home for you on both, you know, fronts, our podcast and the convention. Always will be there for you, and thanks for being aboard tonight. I'm gonna thank you, and then I'm gonna turn over to Holly for final comments with you.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Demetrius. Yes, you definitely always have a home here, and yeah, we definitely have to have you back when some more of the good goods, you know, coming out and hear how you're doing. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing you at Imaginarium. And
that will be – yes, that would be awesome. And I can't wait to have you guys on my show because,
ooh,
you know,
fun.
I want everybody to know what goes on, you know, when making or doing conventions. On the level you guys are doing it, and so
we'd love to share that.
Yeah, how many people,
the people
are
know
about
how
that,
much?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
how much pain and grief go into that? Yes, it will be. we'll talk about that.
yeah, but you know,
it's you bet.
So many positives.
Oh yeah, the positives for
too,
sure.
You know,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's quite the endeavor.
It's always a blast being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we can't wait. We'll chat about all the good stuff, and yeah, and it is rewarding, as you know. I always say, find your tribe, and we have, you know, and we build upon that, and we lift each other up. That's the whole idea. It takes a village. It really does. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you, Demetrius.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
we'll talk to you soon. And
sounds good. And thanks, everybody, for getting submerged. Check out my podcast,
you know,
too. Later
check
this,
out. Check it out.
Month, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Most definitely.
All right.
And then everybody out there that's listening, join us next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great guest, another great show. And for the rest of the week, be creative. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Demetrius.